Hey everyone, I'm glad for those who can join us today. I'm not sure how many of our church members truly got this information, but we did try to get the word out that since we aren't having church at Bethel and Defiance, that we would do a little something online. So the goal here is to do a little something online, be a little interactive. Glad for those of you who will be joining us. I probably won't do a lot of interacting with you immediately because I'll be trying to talk and do this. I can see that some people are joining me already. So welcome, welcome, welcome. And again, there's no services at Bethel Church in Defiance today, but I thought it'd be kind of fun to see what could happen. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to talk about the testimony. So I posted that already. Some of you are already aware of that. Some of you will not see this live. You'll see it later. But what I'd really like to do is do a little bit of interactive stuff today. What I love about church, what I love about being at church, is that we get to kind of greet one another, we get to touch one another, shake hands, hug one another, be within each other, and interact. I believe that's a big important part of what church is all about. So as we're doing this today, I'm going to maybe stop a couple of times and repeat myself here, but I would love any interaction that you would like to do. Especially when it comes to the testimony. If you've got a testimony, something that happened recently, or even something that happened a long time ago, but it's your favorite testimony, that would be great. For example, this what you see in the background is my home, and a lot of you have never seen my home, and you're probably thinking, wow, that's a big room. Yeah, and it goes a long way the other direction as well. I mean, there's a kitchen. I'm facing the kitchen, and you're seeing the living room area. We got blessed a few years ago. Our testimony is we weren't looking for a house, and out of the blue, God gave us an opportunity to buy a house, a foreclosure, and it has been such a huge blessing. We've had a good number of people live with us for anywhere from a couple of days to a couple of years in this house with us, and it's just been so good, and God's used it. So, you know, we weren't looking for a home, and God opened up the doors for us to sell our home at a really high value just before the housing bubble broke. And then we bought this one on a foreclosure at a really low value, and God gave us instant equity and blessed us, and we've been able to bless some other people. So it's been pretty cool. So, you know, that's one of those kind of testimonies that bears repeating. People need to hear that, and I'll kind of explain that as I'm teaching a little bit today. So if you have a testimony, keep it short, but put it in the side thing here, and other people can read your testimonies while they're listening to me talk this morning from my living room. So, yeah, not the church home, my home. But we're glad you could join us today. So Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 17, I'm going to start with that. We're going to end up with most of our verses coming from Psalm 119. And some of you who are from my church, you've heard some of this before. This is just kind of that fun kind of reminder thing that we can do on a day like today. I'm thankful that I'm warm. I'm trusting that you are as well. And my testimony is God's blessed me a lot. I was blessed this morning because I was able to go out and get the snow all taken care of on my sidewalks and driveway. And a couple of years ago, just before that big snow we had, I think it was like 2014, God blessed me with a snow thrower, snow blower, whatever you call those. And boy, has that thing been handy, especially today. So God is a good God, and he wants us to celebrate the things that he's done for us and remember them. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 17 says, "You shall diligently keep the commands of the Lord your God, his testimonies, his statutes, which he has commanded you." You know, as a kid, most of us have been told to obey the commands of God. Like, you know, if we grew up in church at all, it's like, you know, you better obey God's commands. And that's real natural for us. We're used to that. But it's funny that this verse says not only to obey his commands or to keep his commands, maybe that's the better way to say it, but it also is to keep his testimonies. Can you obey a testimony? Can you keep a testimony? Do you keep his commands and keep his testimonies and esteem doing that equally? Like sometimes we think, oh, I better keep his commands, but we don't think as much about, oh, I better keep his testimonies. Like, we don't feel an urgency with that. This is teaching us to keep, and it means the word keep here means to watch or to preserve, and it's also translated to observe or to be a watchman and also to protect. these words are connected to something valuable. When you have something valuable, you protect it. You keep watch over it. You make sure that it is, you know, maintains its value because you've watched it like a watchman, making sure that nothing bad happens to it. Commands show us how to live. Statutes show us how to think. And testimonies show us what to expect. God wants us to expect him to do great things. And that's why the testimony becomes so powerful. A testimony reveals how God acts and in turn shows us his ways. The original word for testimony in the Old Testament was actually a word that meant to do again. It meant that God has done this and now we can expect him to do it again. So if we see God doing something for someone else, we instinctively begin to think, well, wait a minute, if he did it for them, he can do it for me. And that's why the testimony becomes so valuable. Now, here's another familiar verse that I've quoted a lot of times, Revelation chapter 19. Let me start with verse 9. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he also said, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know, we all understand that a prophecy talks about something that God will do. So the testimony is a prophecy. It's a letting us know what God has done and what God will do. So both the Old Testament and the New Testament share that concept when it comes to the testimony, that God wants to and will do something. And when we share our testimony, it's as if we were prophesying. Not only are we remembering what God has done and giving thanks, but we're prophesying what God can do. Your testimony could be a powerful prophecy in the life of someone else. And that's a big deal because maybe they need to hear what God did for you so they have hope for themselves. Now, let's get to Psalm 119. And I love this psalm because it's the largest psalm. It's got so many good things about it. But today we're going to focus on the word testimony or testimonies that keep coming up in this psalm. So first one, for example, is Psalm 119:24. And while you're getting to the Psalms and getting to Psalm 119:24, let me just say again, I want this to be interactive today. Since we can't be at church and interact with each other and hug one another and love on one another and worship together and do all the things that we love to do at church, at least we can interact somewhat on Facebook, and you can put your testimony up, and maybe your testimony will be a great encouragement, a great prophecy to someone else of what God can do for them. Psalm 119, verse 24 says, your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You know, I always try to give people good counsel, good advice. I don't ever want to say anything to anybody that isn't going to help them through whatever situation they're going through. But isn't it interesting that the Bible says that a testimony is a counselor? It gives you good advice. You can always trust the advice of a testimony. Think about that. The testimony of what God has done is good advice about what God can and wants to do and will do in your life. So when you hear someone else having a story of what God's done for them, it speaks to you about how God is for you as well as for them and how he wants to bless you. It's a trustworthy counselor. Some of your friends, some of your neighbors will tell you the best they can, but God's word, God's testimony, will always give you a great idea of what you can trust and who you can trust, which, you know, you can always trust God. Look at Psalm 119, verse 31. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. We live in a time when there's a whole lot of shaming going on out there. I don't believe God's behind shaming. I believe God is the one who is the lifter of our head, not the one who brings us down. It's not his desire to do that. Sin brings us down. God lifts us up. because the testimony is such a good counselor, I can trust that if I act on the testimony, I will not be put to shame. Think about that. If I act on the testimony, I can trust that God will use that to direct my path and help me to know what he wants to do. That's awesome. It's an amazing thing. Psalm 119, verse 36, a few verses later, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. I love this when I saw this, but I'm not sure that we always get what covetousness is really all about. I mean, a lot of people are more covetous than they realize, and sometimes we are coveting and we don't recognize it. Covetousness is wanting what others have. And sometimes we're covetous of what others have because we don't recognize what we've got. Sometimes we want to have what they have because we somehow think that we don't deserve or somehow got cheated out of what they have, and we want that too, and we want that for us. And then it gets escalated to where not only do we want it, what they have, we want exactly what they, we want to take from them what they have and make it ours, as though we feel like they got it in an unfair manner and we should have it too. That covetousness will be eaten up, destroyed, just wiped out completely by the testimony. That's what this is saying. Your testimonies, if I incline my heart to them, I won't be inclined toward wanting what others have. When I recognize what God has given to me, when I recognize who God has made me, that God has made me for something special, that I wasn't made by accident, that who I am and what I'm supposed to be is important in God's plan. When I recognize all those things and I recognize by the things that he's done for me, and I give thanks through the testimony, I start to walk away from wanting what others have, thinking I need what they have, and I start wanting what he has for me. And what he has for me is the absolute best for me. It's what was designed for me. It's what I was designed to live in and to dwell in. So his testimonies, the testimony of what he's done in my life, helps me keep my heart right. You know, if I'm thinking about, you know, all the stuff I don't have all the time and don't have any thanksgiving in my heart, I can be very frustrated. But when I think about all the good things he's given to me, all the blessings that he's given to me, and then when I share those with others, they become real, not only to others, but they become real to me. I get reminded of how good God is. I remember Chris Volatin, a guy that I have a lot of respect for. He's written a lot of books, and he's done a lot of amazing things. He went through a time of deep depression, and he was on the couch, he said, for months. And one day he was just struggling, and he began to talk to the Lord, and he began to recount the miracles that God had done in his life, the testimonies of the things that God had shown him. And as he began to recount them, he thought, I need to write these down. And so he began to write them down. And as he began to write them down one after another, he began to come out of his depression. And within just a few hours of writing all these testimonies down, and he said he got over 180 things that he realized the Lord had done for him. The things that he was facing became small, and the things that had happened to him became large, and the way he was thinking was completely changed. That's what the testimony does for us. Psalm 119 verse 46. Can't talk. Okay. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. You know, no matter how important you think your testimonies are or are not, God will bring your testimonies before great people, before leaders. And when you're a testifier, when you are a person who lets people know how good God has been to you, and you share those testimonies with people, it's amazing what can happen. It can literally gain you entrance to places that you could never have gone and get you an audience before people you would never have met. And I think that's really a big deal. We're waiting on God sometimes to give us an opportunity, and God sometimes, I think, is waiting on our testimonies to pave the way into the place that he wants to take us. So your testimony will open doors that are amazing for you, and you'll get favor with people of power. At least that's the promise that's right here in the scripture, and I believe that promise, and I've seen it work in people's lives. Psalm 119:95. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. Most of you know I wrote a book on fear, and it's a big deal to me that we overcome fear. I want to see people walk unafraid, and we can't walk unafraid if we're walking in shame. Earlier we talked about that idea that the testimony helps us not live in shame. We can't walk before God and before men with boldness unless we realize who we are and what God has done for us. And so as we share our testimonies, it helps us overcome fear. And when the testimony helps us overcome fear, we go boldly, unafraid, unashamed, not held back by anything that we've done or not done, any failure on our part. We just rejoice in God, and we boldly say, look who God has been for me, and I trust him that he will be that again for me, and I trust him that he'll be that for you as well. Whatever the enemy might be thinking about doing, it scares him more than anything when you stand boldly and declare what God has done, because God is greater. And he can't come up against those things that God has done with his power, because what God has done is more powerful. By the way, I just want to throw this in here someplace. My testimony of what God did for me will be partly your testimony as well. We're going to get that to a minute. So don't forget, if you got a testimony, post it on this message today. Tag it with this message. However you do that. I'm not a great Facebook guy, but put your testimony in. Let's interact a little bit. Let's see what God has done, because your testimony could be greatly encouraging to somebody else. I'm going to share more about that as we go here too. But again, that's what we're trying to do today. Interact with our testimonies on Facebook while we're stuck at home because the snow is kind of nasty. Although, truth be known, it's really getting nice out there. I think we could have had church today. But all right, that's just, pastor loves to have church. What can I tell you? Here's a really amazing psalm, Psalm 119:99. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Your testimonies are my meditation. You know, that almost sounds like he's bragging. Now, this is David, but think about it. It almost sounds like he's like, yeah, I'm smarter than everybody. I don't think that's what he's trying to say at all. But think about it. I have more understanding than all my teachers. What's he talking about? I don't think he was being boastful, but I do think he was recognizing how powerful the testimony is. The testimony helps me understand my situation, my testimony, and walking in the testimony and remembering the testimony and trusting the testimony helps me recognize what God has done, what he's capable of doing, and it brings an understanding to my situation that someone on the outside, someone teaching me, probably won't have. What God has done for you will give you more insight to what God wants to do for you than anything that I can teach you. And you know, I get up on Sunday after Sunday and preach and teach and travel sometimes and go to other places and teach, but there is so much you can learn from what God has already done by keeping the testimonies of what he's already done for you. You can learn how to handle the situations you're in day by day, and it helps you do a better job of managing those situations better than I could even advise you, because what God has already done will resonate in your heart better than anything that I can say. So, you know, I do my best to advise and all that, but I encourage you to meditate. That's an interesting word. Meditate on the testimony. Focus on it. Stir it up in your head. Keep it going. Remember it. Write them down. I got to admit, I've got more testimonies than I probably can even remember, because I haven't always written them down. As I was preparing for this message, I was looking at a couple of older messages that I had spoken, and there was this thing about a word of knowledge that I gave to some waitress about a sore tooth. And I vaguely remember that down now, but I didn't write it down completely. And I'm like, oh man, I wish I'd written that down, because now I kind of want to remember it. If anybody was with me on New Year's Eve 2014, I think was when it was, and you remember me, you know, giving a word of knowledge to a waitress, remind me, because I don't remember what it was completely. You know, so if we can focus, if we can keep our heart on the things that God has done, it will keep us in a place of confidence that we really need to walk every day. Another Psalm, 119, 111. I love this one. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. They are the rejoicing of my heart. The word heritage is connected to the concept of inheritance. When you share your testimony about what God has done, others are benefited and you're benefited. You start to receive that which God has set aside for you, like an inheritance. The more I celebrate my testimony, the greater the inheritance becomes, because I have the ability and others have the ability to draw on that inheritance for our needs, for the things that God wants to do in our life, for our direction. Those testimonies are so powerful that way. So it's important that we all understand every testimony is valuable. And let me just say this here. I was alluding to this a little bit earlier. Little testimonies are a big deal. Seriously. Sometimes the little things that God does can have an effect on others that you might not think it would. Little testimonies about the little things God's done can sometimes lead others to begin to walk in a place of testimony. You know, there are times when we get a momentum. Someone finds a dollar, and that dollar, they testify, I found a dollar. God blessed me, and I found a dollar. And somebody else is walking along thinking, man, I'd love to find a dollar. And they find a 10, and they come back and they say, I found a 10. And somebody's like, wow, that was cool. And the next thing you know, people are watching and they're looking and people start receiving. I heard a testimony where it started out with just a few dollars and it began to multiply to where people were getting, there was testimony after testimony after testimony of people who said, I'll take that for me. And they began to get large amounts of money, paying bills off, taking care of transportation needs like a car, things like that. Just because they began to believe, if God did it for them, he'll do it for me. So your little testimony can build up. Plus, sometimes it's just really great to know that God cares about me. And sometimes, you know, I'm concerned about big things, but sometimes it's just that little thing that God does that says, hey, I noticed everything, not only the big things, but I'm the God who notices the little things. And those little things, I want to bless you, and I will bless you. Just trust me. Just trust me. I want to bless you in all things. Psalm 119, 144. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. This testimony is an everlasting thing. When we give a testimony and we glorify God, it's not only something that just, you know, has a momentary life and makes people feel better, but it goes on forever. Think about that. It's everlasting. It just keeps going and going and going. Some of you are thinking about the Ever-Ready Bunny, aren't you? Well, if you're running out of energy, that's what that going and going and going with the Ever-Ready Bunny is. If you're running out of energy, sometimes what you really need are a few testimonies to recharge your batteries. That's right. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just start finding a place where there are testimonies. We have some testimonies on our website, and we're going to try to do a better job of putting more testimonies up. The last few weeks, I've been taking the testimonies from our meetings at church, and I've been posting them to our Facebook group. We're going to change that, I think, to a Facebook page here shortly and try to better utilize those opportunities. But you can go to Bethel Defiance on Facebook and find testimonies from the last few weeks. And, you know, you can do that. You can put up a video testimony. It's not hard to use your phone to take a video of yourself. Most phones even have a little editing feature where you can edit it and make it look good. And you can put up your testimony and someone can be encouraged. Anything from finding something, you know, on the street, a few quarters or something, to seeing the dead raised. Everything is good and all testimonies are encouraging to others. So maybe you want to do that in the next few minutes or after we're done probably. You want to take a testimony of yourself, do a little video of yourself and tell what God's done for you and, you know, upload it to this. That would be awesome because there will be people who won't see this until, you know, tomorrow or the next day or next week or next month. And when they're watching this, if there were a bunch of testimonies right here, I think that would be very encouraging to them. And they could read the testimonies and hear what God's done. Also, if you go to our website, Betheldefiance.com, www.betheldefiance.com, there's a place where there's some testimonies there and you can check them out. And like I said, we're going to start posting more testimonies to our Facebook page. So that'll be something fun. Now, let me give you a couple of of just quick instructions for testimonies, especially if you're going to do them in a public place. We like to say that a testimony should be like the little horn on a car, beep. And I use those four letters, B-E-E-P, to kind of direct what a testimony should look like if you're going to give one, especially at church or in front of other people. So here's the first thing, be brief. You know, keep it short. Sometimes we get bogged down in the details, and don't I know? I'm the pastor who runs off in bunny trails. I get it, you know. It's really hard sometimes when you're talking to people not to have all this stuff going through your head and try to think how you're going to say it. But I think it's really a big deal to keep it to where they can, you know, have the main facts. That way they can remember it. That way they can repeat it. And so it doesn't have to be spectacular. It doesn't have to be anything crazy. But we use BEEP, B-E-E-P, brief, encouraging, edifying, and positive. And we used to say powerful instead of positive, but I kind of changed that a while back, you know, because spectacular isn't the only thing God's doing. Sometimes the little things that don't seem all that spectacular is exactly what's doing. You know, Elijah was in the cave and there was, you know, a mighty wind and an earthquake and a fire. And then God wasn't in any of those, but then he came in a still small voice. Sometimes you think your voice is small and you can barely get out your testimony, but sometimes that's what God speaks through the most. And speaking of wind, don't only keep it brief, but try not to preach or get preachy. You know, a lot of people think the word preach in the Bible is all about somebody who stands up behind a pulpit. And the truth is there are several words that get translated preach, and a lot of them are more related to the testimony and just sharing your heart with people than they are trying to get up and give a, you know, an important dissertation on something, you know, doctrinally or anything like that. So you don't have to be a doctrinal dissentator. I don't know if that's even a word. But you can be a person who shares your testimony, and you can keep it, you know, really good and not too windy, because God wasn't in the wind. So don't be too windy. Be honoring. That's an important thing. It's really important when you share a testimony that you're not, you know, share something that's really negative about somebody else. That's not what the testimony's for. The testimony's for glorifying God, not, you know, smacking somebody else. In fact, it, you know, the testimony is supposed to deliver us from shame, so we shouldn't be shaming others when we're testifying. If you're going to testify, you shouldn't slam anybody but the devil. And slamming the devil is perfectly reasonable. And then don't make someone the devil. You know, keep it to the, you know, the evil one himself. You can slam him. Other than that, try to keep it honoring. Be worshipful. The goal is to demonstrate the greatness of God. That makes sense? Yeah. That being said, if you have no glory, it's hard for you to give glory to God. So some people think, oh, if I get up, people will think I'm glorifying myself. Well, if you have no glory to give, how can you give from yourself glory to God? So obviously, God blesses us. God does good things for us. And I know we don't want to be braggadocious, but we also want to be bragging on God. So it's a fine line. Don't brag about yourself, but give glory to God. And if God's blessed you, if you have some glory, that's what the testimony's for, is to give that glory. We should celebrate each other's victories. We should be glad when someone gets a raise. That's one of the things that we see at church sometimes. I don't know if you're on there, Joyce, because I haven't watched this little side thing over here. But if Joyce is on there, Joyce Stanton always seems to be getting a raise. We joke about it at the church. You know, that's fun. That's good to hear. So when she gets up, we're always like ready. Now, she gives a lot of testimonies and doesn't always say she gets a raise, but she has gotten her fair share of raises, and we all rejoice with her. And it ain't bragging when she says it. It's glory to God. As a final instruction, let me remind you that if you've told a testimony before, there's nothing wrong with telling it again. I think sometimes at our church, at least, you know, we're all trying to find that testimony that happened in the last few days. Sometimes you just need to listen to the Spirit. Maybe he's trying to give you a word of knowledge that someone there needs to hear a testimony. And I don't mind hearing your testimonies. I don't know anybody in the church who's average telling their testimonies more than like once a year on the average over the years that I've been at the church. And I know some great testimonies in our church. Paul and Rita Carnes have great testimonies about how God gave them children. Cord and Corey Earhart have great testimonies about God's deliverance and God's blessing on their lives. You know, I could go on and on. There are a bunch of people with amazing testimonies. And if they were with me right here in the living room today, I might have them give them again. And I've done this before. I did this before when we talked about the testimony. I had a bunch of people that I said, hey, come on up here, tell that testimony again. And they did. Those things are fantastic for us. And so, you know, listen to the Lord, because when there's an opportunity to give a testimony to somebody, even if you've told them before, sometimes that might be the right word in the right season. And that can be a big deal. Again, it can be a prophecy about what God wants to do for them. For centuries, Israel kept the testimonies that of what God did by repeating them over and over and over and over. In fact, they didn't initially have the practice of writing them down. They initially had the practice of repeating them over and over and over. And, you know, people back in that day didn't have notepapers and pads, and that's old technology for us. Nowadays, I make notes in my iPhone. You know, my wife sends me out with a grocery list that she sent me via text and says, get this stuff. You know, so we have ways of writing these things down. We have, most of us on our phones, if we don't know it, we should, the ability to actually take a voice note and just say what happened if something happens to us. And then again, repeating these things over and over and over, get them into our hearts so that when we run into a wall for some situation that we don't know how to handle, if we suddenly refer back, dig back into our history, dig back into the testimonies that we've heard or our own testimonies that we have, we suddenly have something to help us deal with what's in front of us. And so repeating the testimony is an awesome thing. So we're not always looking for something new. We love it that God is always doing something new. That's a big deal. But there's always room for more. So today, while we're interacting as best we can, yep, we can't hug each other. We can't be in the same room together. We didn't get to sing together. We didn't get to celebrate together. We didn't celebrate communion today together. I hate not being able to be with you today. But we can still interact a little bit. You can put your testimonies right here and share them with who knows how many people will actually tune in and listen to this. So if you have a testimony, I encourage you to add it now. And I want to pray for you. I'm just going to let this close right here and just say, I believe that God wants you to get new testimonies, but I believe he wants you to walk and live and meditate on your old testimonies. So write some of them down. Make sure that, in fact, you know, if you're really good at that, I'm not a great journal keeper, but if you're good at journaling, write all the stuff God's done for you down and keep writing it down and keep a record of what God has done. And who knows who that record may bless. There may be a day come when your children or your children's children read of all the things that God has done for you and faith rises up in their heart to do great exploits. So let me pray for you as we close. Father, I ask you to touch everyone who hears this, whether they're listening live or whether they're going to catch it later. I pray that they will be encouraged by the words that have been said here today. I pray that they will find their testimonies, that they will cherish them, that they will hold on to them, that they will enjoy the benefits of them just as they enjoy their inheritance, that they won't be put to shame, but rather they will be exalted and brought before great leaders and kings. I pray that our testimonies, God, will go up before you as worship, that you will be honored, and that others will be honored as well. And so I give you praise. Touch each person who's heard this message today and give them a hunger, a desire, a joy for the testimony. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I am praying that maybe next week we'll get to have church again. Last week, many from our church, probably most, didn't get to come. And this week, we didn't have church. And by the way, you know, I didn't take up an offering today, and the offering I took up last week wasn't, well, anyway, those of you who are part of Bethel Defiance, don't forget, Corey has to go in and pay the bills this week, So if you want to make sure that she gets your offering, that'd be awesome. You can go to our website, by the way. There's a give button there. Maybe I should post that after I'm done here. And if you want to help us out and give to the church, that would be great. So thank you all for just being part of this today. I'm glad that we got to spend a little bit of time with you. It looks like quite a few people are hanging out with me. So cool. Yeah, that's more people than I thought. I think there's 17 on there. No, I can't tell. All right. I don't understand what I'm looking at. But anyway, it's sure been good to be with you all. Bless you, and we will see you soon. Bye-bye.